Vážení kolegové, navštívili jsme našeho hosta a kolegu, prezidenta Evropské hudební rady, pana Jana Smitha. Good morning, Jan. Rádi bychom si s ním povídali jednak o důvodu jeho návštěvy tady v Praze a o tom, co ho zaujalo, a poté i o tom, co je naším společným zájmem, jak české, tak Evropské hudební rady. Mr. Jan, welcome in Prague. And could you say, or colleague, why you are here at the moment in Prague? What is your goal of your stay here?
Well, it's first of all, it's great to be here in Prague. And it's also very special for me to be here, not just as president of the European Music Council, which Lenka, as you know, the office is based in Bonn in Germany, although I live in Scotland. It's great to be here to commemorate 100 years of World War I, but not in a country immediately associated with World War I. Of course, for you, as Czechoslovakians, now citizens of the Czech Republic, you know all about the history of your country, the Austro-Hungarian War, of course, which started 1418, and immediately Czechoslovakia was founded, and then the occupation in 39 with the Nazis, and then the last occupation by Warsaw Pact in the 60s. So the history of this city is very recent. It's an ancient city, of course, the city of 100 spires, but its history is long and honourable. And to be here for such a very special anniversary is an honour, it really is. And invited by Czech Music Council, which you know very well, you and Jaroslav, but by young musicians, European Music Council has a fellowship programme, and the EMC fellowship programme has young musicians, young professionals, maybe in their 20s and early 30s, who we help, we mentor, we give them opportunities for staff exchange. And one fellow based in Groningen in the Netherlands, Merlijn Poelman, with his colleagues, other European Music Council fellows, decided to work together on a project that looked at music from 100 years ago and how those musicians worked in World War I and subsequently the development of music across Europe, but using World War I as the subject and the catalyst for that project. Merlijn applied for European funding. He was not successful, but I knew he would make it work. So I was delighted to say, Merlijn, keep trying, it will come. And here we are, it's happened, it's starting. This is the start, not the finish. So we're looking back over 100 years so that we can look forward, hopefully for many, many years, but using the language of music to bring us together, not to take us apart. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah, thank you for this word. And from the point of view of this music event, what you saw and what was for you impressive or interesting or maybe surprising?
Well, what was really interesting was meeting the musicians, meeting the crew here in Prague, the Czech engineers who put together the concert and in the square, meeting the two Dutch bands who Merlijn brought all the way from Groningen, some musicians from the UK, from London, obviously musicians here in the city, and seeing two very, very different venues. The Masonic Club, which was underground and a very special atmosphere after the open air concert, yes, in the square, where I spoke with your deputy mayor, who welcomed us to his city. And then on Sunday evening, where are we now? I came on Friday. You lose track of time in the special club, a really crazy place where it's place
for
it's a place for young people for sure. But it was great to see them with DJ in-house dance music, very popular place and a very special place for the people of Prague, I was told. And I understand also they are building new accommodation for the university, so they will have an even bigger audience when all the students come. So again, looking forward, it's the future. It's young people celebrating music, celebrating their culture, their contemporary modern culture, but again, the language of music. So these three experiences, and of course, seeing a little of the city, was very special for me.
Yes, you will return to Prague?
I will definitely return. I'll bring my wife next time.
So, you're here in Czech Republic this year in short time, not for first time, because we met in Ostrava by the occasion of the showcase of young Czech performers, what we organized, because around the world and in Europe is so many talented young artists, and their situation is very difficult.
Yeah, it's very hard.
And they need to help in many way. And what do you mean? This kind of activities have a sense?
Well, showcases. I think if we look at this weekend and the start of what it will deliver in terms of the project and how it's working, it's put together by young people. It's put together by people. Merlijn Poelman, who I mentioned, he had a club in Groningen where one of the big trade events of the music industry, Eurosonic, takes place every January. It's one of those international events like Reeperbahn in Germany, like WOMEX, which this year, just 2 weeks ago, was in Gran Canaria, ISPA in New York. There are many such international events where you have the opportunity to present new musicians, new music, but also to network. And for young musicians, learning how to network and sell themselves, and even more importantly, survive. We know how difficult that is. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very important part of why I'm here and why I'm doing what I'm doing now after so many years working in the music industry, first and always as a player, as a performer, then working with writing contracts for musicians, not always easy, and then now in the last part of my working life, working with an NGO, a government organization, as head of music, helping, funding, supporting music in my country, Scotland, but obviously on an international basis, just as you did in Ostrava. This wasn't about Czech Republic, this was about music of the Czech Republic and musicians wanting to work internationally and make their mark. So, important.
Yes, it's what you meant. It was rather in popular music, on pop music, but do you have some good example or some good experiences how to support people from serious music? Yeah. It was the kind of event in Ostrava, the showcase.
Well, the easiest one is Classical Next, and Classical Next in Rotterdam, which we also go to every year, is organized by the same company, Piranha in Berlin, who organize WOMEX, and they also organize a big event in Sao Paulo in Brazil. So WOMEX is very much about world and acoustic music, and Classical Next, as you know, is very much about promoting classical music. But I'm not always happy with titles or descriptions of music. You know, we can talk about contemporary classical music, which is very difficult often for people to engage with. We can talk about contemporary culture, art, which tends to look at pop music and rock music. But across all of these areas, whether it's contemporary art form, whether it's jazz, whether it's folk or traditional music, which has a great history in this part of the world, or it's what you might call serious music or classical music. I was looking on the television last night at a concert with the Czech Philharmonic, playing Dvořák, but also playing Shostakovich and Elgar, well-known British composer. So no language barrier, just the music. And for me, I've been very, very lucky. There's no wood to touch, but I've been very lucky that I've seen and played and worked with great musicians. And I think if someone comes away from the concert or the experience, such as I've had in these last days, and says, that was a great experience, that was great music, to me that's enough, because then the door is open, it's not closed. People can say, I don't like this, but that's fine, that's a personal opinion. But often for young classical musicians, it's a very difficult marketplace to enter, and then you must survive.
I agree. Yeah. And they need the references and very personal mentoring and coaching. Yeah. And do you mean that the musician, international music community of professional work cooperate good or not? We have.
It's much better. It's much better now, which I'm happy to say it's much better. In my experience, it was always easier to sell commercial music than to sell serious music. And you have to decide what is commercial and what is serious, because sometimes it's the same. But it's as difficult. We saw in Ostrava some very fine musicians, especially singers. There are hundreds of singers in the world. And there are hundreds of very good singers in the world. So why does this one make success? And this one, not maybe so easy. It's how they are promoted. A little luck, everybody needs some luck. But you need a good agent, you need good networks, you need, like you made in Ostrava, excellent videos. So you can say, well, here she is, here he is.
Please yes, look. I agree because...
Please listen, because you can't do it any better way. I can speak to people because I know people and they trust me and I trust them. Mm. But you can't do it for every musician you hear. You know, it's very difficult.
Yes, I have yet some question. We have many talented people, but what we need to... from the beginning is the working with children. Which is your personal experiences you have it with the work with children or not? How to work with children? Formally?
The secret with children, in my experience, is that they are introduced to music as early as possible. Because then they don't ask why, they do it, you know? And if it's in the class and they're all singing together, no one says, I don't want to sing. They say, oh, everybody is singing, everyone is smiling, everyone is happy, and we don't have to learn arithmetic or language today, we can sing. And so already a pleasure is starting, not a fear. I was lucky that at 7-8 years of age, I started playing a brass instrument. But a brass instrument in a place where all my friends were also given. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't you are the funny one and everyone else is normal. No, we were all together. So for me, I can't remember not wanting to play, because so young, here it is, you work together, you have great fun, you play concerts, you go away together, you meet boys, you meet girls, all the things that is part of your social life, but it comes through music. We have two grandsons in Ireland. They don't have music, but they have sport. And they play very seriously. One is 6 years, one is 8 years. Already they are in teams, the teams are in leagues, there is competition, and they want to be the best. And I look at them, okay, it's not music, but it's sport, which is just as important. So that ability to access, then participate, and to learn must come very early. And that is sadly down to the school system. Not every public school system has such opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's only in the private place where you need money. So it's not available to everybody. And so some children don't have that same access. But I'm married to a singing teacher, so I know a little about singing. She is a great teacher and a great choir director. And I see the faces when they are all singing together, and they are not, when do we next sing, you know? And this is, you have to have this, it's here, it's in the heart. It's not just here, it's both. And I think if you have a system, and we can speak for many hours and go all around Europe. In Scotland, we have a program called the Youth Music Initiative, YMI, which I and two colleagues started in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
This is now £9 million a year. Still, I'm left, as you know, for some time. But, and it's for instrumental and singing teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So for a small country like Scotland, it's a fantastic, because we have 32 authorities across Scotland, far too many, but they all have some money and they must use this money for instrumental teaching and singing. So, you know, there are now hundreds of new choirs, you know, not so many orchestras, but lots of people are singing, which is great. And it doesn't have to be world class, it just has to happen. So, you know, and then of course what happens is they finish primary school, they are now not little children, they are making choices, they have their computers, they have lots of other things. So the secret is to take it from the kindergarten, the primary, the junior, into the trouble area, secondary school, the senior school, where many stop, or they make the choice, you know. But also you need support of teachers, and of course you need support.
Training of teachers also.
You need the support of parents.
To find new way.
And
to
the parents need educated too.
Yes.
It's not easy,
You mentioned also computers. Children like very well computers.
Yeah.
I don't know if you spoke about it with Jarda, that we made a project here where children work with computers.
Yeah.
But our experience is to make a holistic way, not to sitting by a computer and not to know what is around me, and later continue work with them. Do you have any similar experiences with the education of technology in connection with creativity and phenomenology is very important.
Interestingly, at WOMEX, which is just 2 weeks ago, I met a French software engineer who loves music, but he's not a musician. He makes computer programs. So he has made a new program called Limuzik, L-I-M-O-U-Z-I-K. And he said everyone now can learn to play chords. It's clever, but I would prefer the student understands what they're doing, rather than they press the right button, and here is a C7 chord, here is a G minor chord, here, but they don't know it because they're not learning the notation. There is a better system developed in Finland at the Ressonari Institute. Timo Klemetinen, who you know very well, was involved. And this is called Figure Notes. And Figure Notes is especially for not just young children, but people who don't understand the notation, you know, the crotchet, the quaver, the five lines. But it's based on classic notation, but it's colors and shapes. And very quickly, children with learning difficulty,
they
like colors, you know, they like shapes. But after some time, they are playing exactly what we would play with notation. Then the colors change into notes. So they are saying, oh, this is easy. So this was my red note. This was my blue note, you know, but it's a much, I like this system because it's bringing, it's what we were saying earlier, there's no fear, it's play, it's fun. So if the program in the computer is like cartoon characters, like Peppa Pig or Mickey Mouse or whatever, but there's something at the end that has a value, then it's good. But I still think the conventional method is not to fear. It's possible. But of course, how good is the teacher? Always. How good is the teacher? Good teachers mean good results. Always.
Yes, the same experiences was for me, the workshop in this showcase. People need very often very short instruction, precise instruction, and they stay much more better in the few minutes. It's very interesting.
And I think teachers, sorry Lenka, what is important for me is, you know, I love jazz, and I love when you see great musicians improvise, but you always know the melody is there. For teaching, it's much harder. But the good teacher can improvise. They can change. They can say, yes, this book that got me my degree is a very good book, but now I can't use the book, I have to use my head and react to this student, who is different to this student and different to this student. So these are the best teachers who can immediately change and think, maybe this approach is not working, let's try something a little different. And the end is what is important. In between, it doesn't matter. It's not such a problem.
So I have, thank you for this verse. And I have yet one question about the advocacy for music and the European level, international level. How to argue for music sector, for help, the good way, how to present music
to politics. I can give you a good example. In 2016, the year I retired from Creative Scotland, I was invited to join a group of European music professionals, for want of a better description, and it became known as the AB group, because it met at Ancien Belgique, the venue in Brussels. It was organized by the European Commission, by the Creative Europe Network, and they wanted us to tell them why the Commission should consider giving more money to music. So,
you know, yeah.
For us it was easy, but you know, we had to work with the politicians. We had to say to them, if you make access better and it's free, you don't have to pay. And we went through how we thought they could improve policy. And as a result, we have Music Moves Europe, which is the first ever additional money from the Commission to music. It's only 1 million euros. It's tiny, really tiny, but it's a start. Film, media, television has 50 million plus, but they were much better, much earlier in asking for support for the film industry in Europe. We have our own European agenda for music, which we are very proud of. And many of the European members of the European Commission are now using this document to help them make policy for music. So it, you know, it makes me very proud, but again, it's not the end. It's only the start and the beginning of another journey. So an organization like European Music Council can lobby directly to the Commission. Not all of our members can do that. Of course we have EBU, European Broadcast Union. They don't need us. They're a huge organization, but they keep their membership because they feel that the membership for them is important. We have European Jazz Network, we have European Association of Conservatoires, we have the European Choral Union. Sonia, who, as you know very well, works with us in our office. They all also have money direct, but they are members of the bigger, I always call it the Starship Enterprise, the bigger ship that goes direct to the source, not just of the money, but of the political influence. And we have to be political in this life. You can't not be. It's impossible. But you have to get the politicians as friends, not enemies. Then you have some results. Not easy, but it's possible.
Thank you for this interesting interview.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you both.